2 Timothy chapter 3, and also visiting 1 Corinthians chapter 9 toward the end of that chapter. And so if you want to go to one place and maybe mark the other, we'll start in 2 Timothy. Starting where we began in 2 Timothy a few weeks ago, and I've been poring over and reading this book like never before, and just really enjoying the richness, the encouragement from Paul to both this young man Timothy and to us as well. For these words apply to us. They apply to the church today as much as they have ever applied to anyone. As I've said before, this was a letter written, I won't say in desperation, but under a high amount of pressure as Paul was facing death as he wrote this. And where we began a few weeks ago, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 9. And I want to prepare you that today's message is actually going to come in two sections. There are two parts to the message that work well together. But just something that I felt compelled to do this week. And so we're going to talk about this training first and then get into the other stuff. So 1 Corinthians 9, picking up in verse 24. These shared with the children this morning. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. When Paul talks about fight like a man beating the air, if you've seen boxers shadow boxing as they prepare, but there's not actually an opponent. So that's what he's referring to there. But yet he makes himself a slave to Christ, a slave to the gospel, that he will preach to others so that he will not be disqualified. So this training that he talks about to Timothy, this training that he wrote about to the Corinthians, he makes a comparison to athletic training, right? The runners run as to win the prize. We know the difference between exercise and training, right? Training in that realm is exercise, but for a specific purpose. Anybody can go out and run. Anybody can lift weights. Football players run and lift weights, but they also do very specific blocking and tackling drills because they have a specific purpose. So that's where exercise turns into training. You know, most of us that might go out and jog a little bit, we don't jump over hurdles along the way, but a hurdler would do those things. So training is then for a specific purpose. It's exercise for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose, going back into Timothy there, is so that we may be equipped, thoroughly equipped, for every good work. And so what is that training that we do, that we diligently do? We train, in part, by spending a great deal of time in the Scripture, this God-breathed document that we have. That is part of our training. See, God has provided it, but we have to take advantage of it. God has given it, but we have to use it. It's a blessing from God, but if it goes unused, then what is the blessing? Like we heard this morning, like a gift unopened. The gift given and left unopened is not of any use. And so God has given this thing in our training, our diligent training, so that we may be equipped to do the good work of God. Now, most of us are not going to be Olympic or professional athletes. There might be some of the younger here, but for most of us, that ship has sailed a long time ago. But we can all be the spiritual equivalent of Olympians. Each and every one of us can be thoroughly equipped. In Paul's letter here, he doesn't split off a group and say, well, those could be. He said, so that the man of God, the person of God, those who follow Jesus can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You are completely trained and ready. You've been given the tools to do it if you take advantage, if we take advantage of the things that God has given us. You know, some nuts and bolts. There's other places in Scripture where it talks about Scripture as milk. Another place where it talks about it as meat. And some of it is more for beginning as given to newborns and some for those who have matured some. And really dig in. And there's a place for all of us there. If you don't know what else to do, if you haven't ever started diligently reading the Bible, go to the Gospel of John and start there. Read the Gospel of John. You'll see a hunger develop to go further. If you're regular at reading the Bible, then go see what some other people have to say about it. Find some good commentaries and read. You can go online and find some great stuff, but be very, very careful because there's a lot of junk out there mixed in. So you look for reputable things. And you know, you can write me or call me or come see me and I can suggest some things for you. But he's talking about diligent training. So we might start off, if you've never done it before, you might start off with a little devotional guide in the morning. And that's how you start, with a couple of verses of Scripture. But we can't stay there. Paul is exhorting us. God is calling us to go deeper. The Olympic miler, the one that wins, the one that takes the gold, even the one that competes on the team, doesn't get up 3 or 4 days a week and jog around the block. Those who make it to the highest level in their sports, it becomes who they are. And for us to be who God is calling us to be, it has to become who we are, not just something we do. We have to spend time in God's Word. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time doing the things that God calls us to do, loving others in His name. This is the work that God is calling us to do. And as we train for that, just like when we're training for a sport, you'll see the things that you're called to do become more of a second nature. It becomes more of who you are. It is not an exercise anymore, but it becomes something that you have a desire to do because you become good at it. This is for every person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. I believe it's even for Grace and Sadie this morning, who can't even maybe understand the words I'm saying. They just hear a strange noise out here. But God's Word does not return void. It goes out and it plants seeds and it becomes a real thing wherever it is heard. So I am exhorting all of us to dig into the Word of God. To spend time hearing what God has to say to you, to me. He has a message for you. He has gifts for you. He has blessings for you. Let's not leave those gifts unopened, but let us open the things that God has given us and put in our hands. And with that, I'd kind of like to transition here to this other thing. I rarely like to tell stories as part of the message because, you know, there's different philosophies about preaching, but the one that I ascribe to says that you don't scripturize your sermon. In other words, we preach the Word of God. I don't come up with some kind of thought or idea or philosophy and then look for a Bible verse to fit it. We preach what the Word of God says. But this story, I very much believe, tells the Word of God. It is an example of the gospel. It is an example of the kingdom. And it started when I met this guy that just moved here from Kansas last week. And after a few minutes of talk, turned to Jesus, and he's a believer, and talked about that he left a church once because the pastor, who was a good friend of his, all he preached was obedience. Every week, that's all he preached. Never preached about grace. And that said every week that he and his family left feeling bad because it was like they were never doing enough. There was never any of the grace of God preached. And it caused me to stop and think, because I do talk a lot about being obedient to what God calls us to do. I talk a lot about that, and I don't think I skip over the grace, but maybe someone feels that way. And I do want to address that grace that God gives us, that unmerited favor that accepts any of us who we are and where we are, no matter what we've ever done, that grace that God gives us, that grace that Paul talked about also in 2 Timothy, that doesn't just bring us in to his kingdom, but strengthens us. Paul says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The other part of the story comes from another conversation with Bill Sammons, who's the general manager of 887 The Bridge, and I called him, had a conversation, asked for his permission to share this story. Bill and his wife Julie and their little daughter Mary are trying to adopt a young lady named Ira from the Ukraine. And she was here for 4 weeks before and after Christmas. She turned 14 while she was here. And it was a wonderful time. And they are going through the process now trying to adopt her. And in a separate conversation via email, some announcements, you'll hear more about that later, because this is a terribly costly thing. It costs $25,000 to adopt a child from the Ukraine. But God has called them into this, and we believe God's going to provide. And you know, maybe somebody here might be interested in taking part in that, but you can talk to me and I can give you some information. But they had this young girl here, and one of the things that they were told about the kids in these orphanages is that they have nothing. Nothing. And they have no one. Matter of fact, when they talked to Ira here, they asked for her address, and she didn't know it because she never had it to give, had to give it to anyone. She had no family. No one wrote her. She never left, so she never had to come back. So she didn't even know her address. So one of the things that they were warned about was these children, if they can get access to something, they may pilfer it and hide it some way, hoard it someplace, you know, because they don't have anything. So when they see stuff. So anyway, Julie took this young girl out before Christmas. They were going to a store. And can you imagine if you'd grown up in an orphanage in the Ukraine, what Walmart would look like to you? Or what the mall would look like to you? And she was just blown away by all the stuff everywhere. Well, at one store, she saw a little ring that just made her eyes wide. She loved this little ring, and it was just like a $6 or $7 ring. And Julie said, you know, well, not now. And her idea was that when she got distracted, she would go buy it and give it to her for Christmas. So when the little girl got distracted, Julie went over, and it wasn't there anymore. And so she asked the sales girl, "It's only been like 5 minutes. Did you sell that?" She says, "No, I wonder where that is." Well, after they got home, her suspicions were confirmed, and Ira had shoplifted that ring and had it hidden in her backpack. And when Julie went in her bedroom and lifted up the mattress, there were little hair ties from the younger girl, candy bars, little pieces, bits of food and stuff that she had taken and hidden away. And so she called Ira to come in the room, and she sat down. She explained to her that she'd found these things and told her that that was, you know, it was improper behavior. But she also said, "You're going to be part of our family. You don't have to do this. You will have everything you need, and you'll have a lot of stuff that you want. And there's going to be some stuff you want that you can't have, and that's just the reality of it. But we love you, and this doesn't change how much we love you. Our love for you is unconditional. It's not based upon whether you did or didn't do this thing." And then she called Bill to come in. and kind of just affirm these things she had been telling Ira. And when Bill walked in the room, the little girl cowered in the corner and put her hands up. See, what the world had taught her is that when men come in, when you've done something wrong, something bad's going to happen. What represented the father to her was scary. But over a period of time, he was able to gain her trust. After the 4 weeks, she went back to the Ukraine. They've been connecting via the internet and some phone calls back and forth, and hopefully, very soon, that young girl will come and be part of that family. But as I drove away thinking of that story, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I really felt God impressing it upon me to share that story with you, because it is the story of God's love for us. It is the story of God's grace for us, that no matter what we've done, no matter what it is, there is nothing so bad that God would not say to you, child, you are welcome into my family. I want you to be part of my family. And sometimes we put our hands up because the world teaches us that that's not how we're accepted. The world teaches us that bad things happen to us when one in authority comes in. But what God says is, no, my arms are wide open to you. I'm here to rescue you from punishment. I'm not here to mete out punishment. I'm here to rescue you from the punishment. And to go on to say, as part of the family, there is repentance. That behavior needs to be changed. You don't have to do that here anymore, because I will give you everything you need and a lot of stuff that you want. And some stuff you want, I'm not going to give to you because it's not good for you. You may not be able to see it, but I love you. I love you. And I thought, wow, this is such a perfect story of the grace and the love and our becoming part of the family, the kingdom of God. This is God's message for us. Each of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But through the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all welcomed to be part of that family. And that same grace, as Paul wrote to Timothy, is the thing that strengthens us, that then enables us to be obedient. It's not an either or. It's not a matter of balance. It's not a matter of, you know, if I preach enough of this and enough of that. It's always together. The grace that God gives, the repentance He requires, they're all part of the same thing. We repent out of the love that we have for Him. We want to be part of the family, and therefore we respond to Him in love and in obedience. Not because we're cowering in fear because we're going to get struck down. That's what the world thinks often about God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The world often thinks that God is a punisher. And God is saying, no, I'm trying to rescue you from the punishment. You are in punishment already. You're in the orphanage. You're outside. I want to come and get you. I sent my son to come and get you. Will you come? Will you come and be part of the family? Father, if there's anyone here this morning that feels like they're not in the family, may they take this moment. And without fear, without regret, without any image of themselves that says, I'm not good enough, because you said all are welcome. You so loved the world. And that's as inclusive as it gets. You love all of us. If there's anyone here, Lord, that feels outside, may this morning, this moment, may they accept the hand that you've extended to them. and walk towards you into the kingdom. Become part of your family, part of our family. In Jesus' name, amen.